You see the difference. When I pay respect to Buddha and pay respect to somebody else. When I pay respect to Buddha, I bend my body 90 degrees. If I pay respect to somebody else, it's only 75 degrees. So the Buddha is very, very important. Okay? So let's start with the talk tonight on anger and forgiveness. We'll start with anger. Hands up those of you who has never got angry before. Well, I'm glad none of you put your hands up, because if you put your hands up, I tell you, I won't call you a saint. I'll call you a liar. Because anger is with everybody. People who are normal. Unless you become a Buddha or become an Arahat, all of us are being affected by anger. It's one of the things. And the result of anger is what? Stress, unsatisfactoriness, suffering. So it's through anger. Anger is one of the things to cause all these things. But I think most of the time it's one of the single greatest cause of our stress. You get angry all the time. A little bit. So it depends on the person. Some people don't get so angry so often and so much. The intensity and the frequency is a bit less. But for some, they really get angry all the time. They get angry when the bus don't arrive in time. They get angry when the lift is a bit slow. It's gone to the third floor when you want to go to when you want to come down, it just goes up. You get angry when your friend says something, simple thing. When they're late, you get angry. When they're early, you get angry. So that's how we are. Human beings, we are angry somehow or other. And some of us, we actually find anger. We chase after anger. If you don't get angry, then you're not particularly good. Right? There's one case of, when I was talking about anger a long time ago, there's this guy who says, how can you say anger is not good for you? It's only when I show my anger that I get things done. True or not? Huh? If you go there and the fella and just take it easy, and then you bang a table there, then get a knife and threaten him, he'll do it for you. But I think if you do it without anger, you get better results too. So this is what it is. Anger is not a really good thing. When you get angry and thumb at the table, what is happening inside you? You're getting that stress. So we know that in modern days, stress or unsatisfactoriness is not a very good thing. So, what I can't define anger, because my dictionary tells me something which is very funny. I don't have to tell you what anger is. All of you know anger very well. Sometimes when you get really angry, what happens to you? Are you happy or not? If anger comes with happiness, then we should get angry more often. Then the Buddha was wrong. So, what does anger does to us? It's done physically. When you get really angry, your heartbeat pumps harder. And some people, when they're angry, the face goes red. Or some people, the face goes pale. And then when the anger is a bit stronger, they start to tremble. When you start measuring the blood pressure, then the blood pressure goes up very high. And that's why people who get really have problem with stroke and high blood pressure and all this, shouldn't really get too angry. Because when you get too angry, you get a stroke, you get a heart attack, you just die. If you don't die, you go to hospital. So you can see physically, it gives us that stress, physical stress. And then when somebody is angry, they are never calm. Right? There's restlessness in us physically. You get very restless. Do this, do that. No? And then there's also this anxiety. It comes. And that, all this contribute to your stress. And of course, well, not only physically, but emotionally. Next time when you get angry, see what happens in your mind. This one. I can tell you that. There's instability in thoughts. Irrationality in thought, in thinking. That we just do things which are out of our usual way, or out of, we become unreasonable most of the time. when you demand something. It's not that you demand the thing, you demand something more than that and get to be very ridiculous in our demands. So we are unable to see things clearly. Right? And when you talk about unable to see things clearly, that is the other way of what the Buddha mentioned, the wisdom. Wisdom means to see things clearly. If we don't see things clearly, we are completely enveloped in what we call ignorance and our delusion. When you get angry, you don't see things, don't really see the things as they really are. And when we don't see things clearly, then our actions will be is affected by the way we think emotionally. But people who, once I caught a case of a guy who worked together with me. He's a truck driver. One day we got a list. Every day he's got to load the truck in a certain sequence so they can drop this there. And one day, somebody put the sequence in the opposite order. So he went and put the thing in. Then he realized eventually that something went wrong. He went to shout at the guy who prepared the list. One. And after that he came, went into the big truck and banged his head along on the truck. Not the truck wall. Like whatever, passed by, I hear this bang, bang, bang going. I said, "What's happening, Gary?" He said, "Blah, blah, blah, swear, 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 swear." And then he says, I did the thing upside down. So I told him the best thing is, don't have to bang your head. You bang too much, your head might crack. So the best thing for you is to rearrange the whole thing and then just go and do your work, isn't it? But when you get angry, he doesn't think of it that way. He went to yell at the storekeeper. And then after that, he went and punished himself. So that's what happens when we do get angry. When you get angry, you are punishing yourself first, getting all the stress and everything. And the second thing is you start to push the anger out to other people. You blame people. We harm them. Oh, we harm the relationship. When somebody does something wrong, we get angry at them. Do you think you're going to make the relationship better? The Buddha preached understanding and not just this reacting emotionally and things like that. So if we can, we try not to do it. And then, of course, when we are angry at others, and usually anger, we are 20% of the time we direct to ourselves. The other 80% is what? He, she, it made me angry. We always say that. I don't get angry if you don't do it. I don't get angry if you don't do that. So when we get angry, we do things, say things, and do things which will cause harm to other people. We will hurt people. Sometimes when we're angry, have you ever quarreled with your friends before? No? In a very nice way, I do. Right? Sometimes in a nice way, we quarrel. Right? And you're angry, but you suppress the anger. And then we say things, and we calculate ourselves to say things to hurt the other person. Then afterwards, when the other person gets hurt, you lose a friend. So this is what happens when you get angry. That's why we say anger is not a really good thing. First thing, you harm yourself physically, you harm yourself emotionally, you harm your relationship. So when we talk about that, then if we ask the question, how can I not get angry? I'm just, after all, I'm a human being. Human being must get angry. If you think that way, then there's something wrong with the thinking. If there's anger, there will be a state where there's no anger. Right? Buddha's teaching. If there's a suffering there, there will be a state of no suffering. So when there's anger, then you've got to know that there would be times when there will be things when states where you don't get angry at all. But how do you make that happen? The fact that we are human beings is that we can make that happen because we got that thing. This is our mind here and we got that rational way of thinking. If we are animals, we can't help it. You get angry, you get angry. You get angry. Like in the olden days, they say the bulls get angry when you put a red cloth on them. So you're being manipulated by things. Now, if you want to be like the bull and get manipulated, then you get angry. And when you get angry too often, it's very easy. Everybody knows that you get angry and then push your button. You get one button, it's more difficult to find. But if your whole body is full of buttons, It's like push here, push there, push there, put there, and then you jump around. They enjoy looking at you. Right? So, now, we got to know what makes, you know, when you know when to do anger, we follow the Buddha's way. Try to study anger. Try to analyze it. Try to observe it. Of course, it's easy to observe anger in other people, you know. Like say, when an A gets angry, he gets a red face and then he jumps around, his breath is short and all these things, and then he starts swearing. B is angry, the face becomes pale, and then he's very quiet and waiting for opportunity to do something. Right, so, there are various kinds of anger outside. But I'm not asking you to look outside, because when you study anger, you look at your own. This is, when you talk about anger, it's not about other people's anger. It's all about you. That's the Buddha's first principle. Everything Buddha teaches is about you, about me. Right? So we got to learn what is anger. Firstly, we know that what is anger. You know. Right? Secondly, is to see where the anger starts. What's the source of anger? Does it simply happen, just come down like that in heaven? No. Does it come up in hell? No. It's only when in anger, when you're in anger, you go to hell. So we go back to the simplest of Buddha's teaching. In the Dhammapada, the first word is mind. Whatever things happening is caused by the mind. So your anger is caused, it starts from your own mind. If you don't have a mind, then you don't get angry. And what does this mind do? Right? You've got to have the mind and the body to work together to get that state of anger. If you don't have a body, then there's no anger either. So, go back to the very basic principle. It's about all this, thank you, Alan. This six sense basis. Right? Every time I talk to the Unibuds, I always go back to six sense basis. I think some of you are so sick of listening to my six sense basis. Why do I keep repeating? If it's not important, we don't repeat, you see. And it's basically the most important part of Buddhist teachings. This six sense basis are with you. That's you. Right? As a physical entity. So, I go back again. Because it's much easier to understand. Right? So these are the six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's right. What does these sense spaces do? They are the things which receive signals. It comes to where you, that give you signals. When you receive signals, okay, let's take the example of the eyes. Have you ever been angry with the things you see? Now, supposing you're walking along a nice, beautiful park, everything is so nice, and this somebody's dog just laid something in front of you. That's not a, you know, most people who don't like it, unless you really like dog poo. So we look at it, then it becomes you, your eyes come into contact with that poo. And what happens next?
You pick it up.
No, before you pick it up. So everything happens, we think that everything happens in a split second, but the work, you look at the dog poo, then it gives you an impression, right? The sensation in the eyes. And because we always associate dog poo with something unpleasant, so you got this unpleasant sensation, that you feel not pleasant. And this unpleasant sensation keeps, you know, just expand, and it becomes something which you don't like. And when we see something like that, again, the mind starts to work, the thinking process comes in. And the way we think is, you know, it can be anything, but I give you a few examples. You can think that somebody's dog must have laid the poo there. Then we start to get a little bit angry. A little bit. It's irritation. dogs there. These people shouldn't have the dogs slaying the poo around everywhere. Or sometimes, like me, I always think, they should be carrying a bag around. And then, you know, people, some responsible people go with the bag and a plastic bag. So when the dog lay the poo, they pick the thing up and put in the bag. This never happened. If this happened, the owner did. Then we start to have this idea about what sort of owner the dog has, what sort of dog it is, and then as we think about it, we get more and more irritated. So, even though we go and bend down to pick it up, out of kindness, we already got angry. They shouldn't have done it, but just because I'm a nice, good person, I'm going to pick it up. Or sometimes, we don't feel like picking it up. But then if we swear at the thing, we just look at it, and then until the next distraction, you still keep thinking about it. Right? If you're not careful, you keep thinking about it until you go home. Right? And then you get into a very nasty mood. That's a simple thing. What is a simple thing? Your eyes saw the dog poo. Right? And similarly, there are many, many things, like things which you, especially the things which you hear. When you hear things, we get angry. When I tell you, somebody, you know, your close friend have said something bad about you. What happens? This is not really nice sounds, not nice things. You get unpleasant feeling. Then the aversion or the hatred starts to come up. And then you cling on to it and becomes worse. Then you start to think, your mental formation starts to say, now he's my good friend. How can he say the things about me? And so on. And when the things start to circulate in your mind or the brain, you say, I go and straighten up things with him. Or sometimes you don't. We keep inside. And then next time, I must do something about it. So what you do, what we sometimes do, say bad things about him to his friends as well. Right. So these are the things. These are the things anger can cause. It's not simply that when you get angry, you bang your head against the wall or things like that. Or not say when you get angry, you go and bash other people. But these are the more smaller things when we are in that state, we can do. You think about things. Do harmful things to other people. But most important is, when before we really do the harmful things to other people, we are really harming ourselves. So, basically, the formula is, when the sense basis comes into contact with the sense objects, then the mind starts to work. Anything which is unpleasant will go into the state of trying to reject the thing, or if you can't reject the thing, you're holding it, then you start to get upset with it. And that's the first part. When you get upset, then you get angry. Sometimes you get angry for a while until the next distraction. So supposing I'm very angry, then supposing somebody say, Jim, don't get angry, I buy you a nice bowl of ice kacang. You know, anybody who don't know what ice kacang is? It's our favorite Southeast Asian thing, that ice with a lot of beans and things like that, which I like. So I say, ice kacang, I forget about getting angry. So I go and gobble the thing. And if something else which is distracting me is alright, I keep on, I can get away from the anger for the time being. But if I'm not careful, when I go home quietly, and then the thought will come again, right? And that, if it comes at 9 o'clock, then I'll be thinking about it. 10 o'clock, I'll still be thinking about it. 11 o'clock, it gets worse. I lose a night's sleep. Right? Your adrenaline starts to work. And then you carry that burden. Right? And if you think that we are intelligent animals, I think we are not. We carry these sort of things with us. Right? It goes on and on. One thing, two things. And so this is basically the formula of anger. How it starts. From the things we see, from the things we smell, the things we taste, the thing we feel in our body. And then, of course, the most important is the way the mind works, our own thinking. Like it's through the mind is through our consciousness, through our perception, through our sensations, and through our mental formations, right? The way the mind judges things, the way the mind carries on with things. And if we are not trained, we can't shake it off. And that's why we are all victims of our own creation. Next time when you get angry, look, closely. Who makes you angry? What makes you angry? If you're not there, will you get angry or not? Most important. There's one most important person we always think that, I mean, we always think that it wouldn't affect this ourselves. Actually, we come into contact with things and we get angry. Very simple. So when you get angry, don't blame others. Now, usually anger comes with unpleasurable things. And things which we think is not nice. Then it makes us angry. If things which are nice, what happens? You'll be enjoying it. Going more and more and more. More and more. And we just enjoy the sort of things. So, you've got to, in our case of trying to do something with our anger, we got to identify it, know where it comes from. Where this anger comes from. This is a very simple way. Know that it comes from. And of course, I'm not recommending you to dig out your eyes, to cut your ears away, and make your ears deaf, or cut away your nose so that you can't smell. That's very stupid. People say, if your hand offends you, just cut off the hand. That's the stupidest thing to do on earth. What we can do is, knowing these sort of things is affected by your own thinking in your mind, we try to modify our thinking. Don't say do away with your thinking. You do away with your thinking, you'll be dead, right? Or do away with thinking, you're a stupid idiot too. So we got to know, do something about it. And what's the something about we do? Well, in the olden days, people tell you, don't get angry. When somebody gets angry, you tell the fellow, don't get angry, what happens?
You get even.
Yeah, they get angrier still, right? And even us, when we are really angry, someone says, don't get angry, don't get angry. We still get angry. Or some people might recommend, some clever guys might recommend us, okay, suppress your anger. Don't show your anger. This is quite a common thing. You're civilized, you're nice, possibly, you know, you're a nice person from that family. You shouldn't show your temper. You must show that you're a very nice person. So when you get angry, we grit our teeth. Yeah, very nice, very nice.
But isn't it being false, though? Isn't it being false?
Oh, yes, being false. But the thing is, you know, when you do that, what is happening up here? You're getting more suffering.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you get more and more, the suffering intensified. Yeah. And then, if it's law of physics, the more you suppress it, one fine day it's going to explode. And when it explodes, you've got to go and see a psychiatrist. So that is the whole thing. It becomes a strong thing. And for a lot of people, I think it's possible that depression and stuff comes from that source. If you suppress your anger too often, and you really don't have the... In fact, there's no way of controlling this pent-up sensation. Eventually, it will erupt. And when the thing erupts, well, it's going to make you worse. So it rules out that suppressing anger is not a thing. The other thing is train yourself not to worry about things. I don't care, airy-fairy things... When somebody does something bad to me, I just pretend that nothing happens. But how long can you do that? So, still that doesn't work. So what is the Buddha's way of teaching us? We are a Buddhist society, so we always refer to the great old man called the Buddha. The Buddha has got a lot of teachings to do with it. But he gives us a very basic formula. How to deal with this thing. Dealing with anger is exactly the same way as you deal with dukkha or suffering or unsatisfactoriness. Right? But anger is a bit more difficult because it's very... Since the day you're born, you're with it already. Right? You're told, sometimes you're taught to be angry. Right? So, what are we going to do? Well, the easiest way to do is to understand it. Just now we are explaining how it starts. Then the other thing is, look at the way it is working on us. Right? You can say that anger feeds anger. Anger, stress, anger. And then it keeps on going, right? And it becomes a big flame, and eventually, in many cases, we get burnt by them very badly. So the best thing is, like what the Buddha recommended, do some observations. Watch what happens when you get angry. But can you do it or not? If you don't have the skill to, you never do it. Because when you start to be aware that you're angry, you're already a long distance down that way. Anger has already burnt you a lot already. So you can train yourself. And the training comes through your meditation. Going back to all this meditation thing. People think that meditation is sitting down there and feel good, sitting down there and float yourself, sitting down there and learn how to walk through walls and all this. But you got to know, meditation is not that. Not for you to feel relaxed. You want to relax, you go and do swimming, you go and listen to the music and all this. Right? Go and play a round of tennis, well, you're relaxing. Buddhist meditation is for you to understand your mind and to work on your mind. Understand that, you know, as I said just now, the cause of anger or the source of anger comes from your body and your mind. So if you are not aware of how your body and your mind acts and react to things to cause anger, then what's the use? You must know it. And Buddhist meditation deals with this. It's not solely on anger, but it deals with how emotional states come up in your thinking, in your mind. So as you do so, do your mindfulness meditation and you start to understand the workings of the mind a lot better. So the first stage in our training is not about getting rid of anger yet. You can't. It's about understanding anger. And as you understand it, then you've got the ability to know what to do. If you are not skilled in anything, if I tell you that somebody comes and wants to attack you with a stick, what do you do if you don't know taekwondo or anything? So you've got to learn to fortify yourself. Learn how to deal with things. So, understand that it's already in our memory. Throughout, if supposing you are 20 years old now, you've got 20 years of memory in this world. If you are 50 years old, you've got 50 years of memory. It's already imprinted here on what to get angry and what not to get angry. Mind you. Because we are so used to that sort of things. We say, how can you leave your bag there? Then you start to say. When you say, how can you leave your bag there? You're already starting to get angry. The more you look at the bag, the angrier you get. Whose bag is that? How can they do this and that? This is a public place, blah, blah, blah. You're torturing yourself. So understand that you are the one who is doing it. So how does it do? Understand that it's through your whatever you think you see, you hear, and so on. Now, in mindfulness meditation, we learn this course. When I see this, I got this sensation. Right? This sensation is not something nice. Right? Although this bag, I like this bag, but it shouldn't be there. Again, that is the sensation already. You're telling yourself. Right? So, it's not pleasant. And therefore, we work on it, the unpleasantness. Now, firstly, you start with what you call contact. Right? Your eyes come into contact with the object. And straight after the contact, you have this sensation. And then there's this perception. And of course, after perception, you start to judge the thing. And this is what we call mental formation. Whether it's good or not good and so on, you already make up your mind. And then after that, your brain starts to work and tell what I'm going to think about it next. Right? And all this time, you're having this consciousness. Are you being conscious about it? So, understand it. And how to understand the thing? You understand now conceptually in words. But to really understand it, we've got to go through it with the practical training. So for those of you who has been through mindfulness meditation, the training is that. You sit down there, just watch, learn how to watch the mind. Learn how to be aware of the workings of the mind. Things don't happen just like that in split second. During a split second, 100 things can happen. 100 thoughts can come into your mind, but we are not quick enough to register the thoughts. So what you know is, when you see the thing, it's straight away, I already make up my mind. We know that. That's a split second. But the process is, it's got to go through all this. So in our mindfulness meditation, we recommend people to slow down the thinking and to just be aware of these sort of things. When you see the things, what happens? When I hear something, Jim, he said something about you. Now, that's the beginning of it, right? He says something about you. Then you start to get curious. What is that? Is it good or bad? It's in your mind. Then the next thing is, he says, he said that you were a thief. Then what happens? To us, thieves are no good. Unless you are one of the thieving scoundrels. So thieves are no good. Then the next thing is, all sorts of things can happen. How can he say that about me? Even though we don't verify from him, we don't even know whether this guy comes and tells us are creating the whole thing. You don't. Straight away, pop, it goes there. You've got to be able to know if you are mindful of things, the awareness. Okay, I just heard this. It's not very nice to me. And then, if you don't want to make a big drama out of it, you can learn how to let go of it. So he said that somebody told me I'm a thief, or somebody told him that I'm a thief. Okay, so what? Or you can say, without getting angry, you can say, I'm going to find out more about it, whether what he says is right or not. Now, you can do it by getting, when you get angry, you don't think about it that way. But when you are not angry, you can do it straight away. That's the next thing you got to do. When you do that, you can find out. And then, of course, in dealing with all these things, there'll be more anger created. Right? But step by step, if you know how to lessen the anger or not being angry about it, then what's there? You don't get the stress. So this is the thing. Now, to do that, we got to understand this mechanism, how the things get triggered off. And then, as you are being aware of things, you got to know, watch the anger as it develops. Anger starts with a little bit of a spark. Then it can turn into a little fire, then turn into a bigger fire, and then turn into a huge fire. At any time at all, we can just go there and just extinguish the fire if it's a small fire. But when the anger is burning us, then don't get a fire extinguisher. It doesn't work. So initially, in our meditation, we do not worry about what to do with anger. Just watch, sit down there. And A told me that B said something bad about me. Invariably happened in your meditation. Then what do you do? Now it's a distraction. The Buddha teaches us, know that anger is starting. Let go. This letting go is very important. Learn to let go. Then you sit down there. It comes back, you let go again. It comes back, you let go again. Right? So this is the first way to deal with anger. Now it doesn't mean that we don't take any actions at all. But you are taking away the anger portion of that problem. You see, you got a problem, you get angry and try to solve the problem, and when you don't get angry to solve the problem are two different things. When you get angry to solve the problem, you get more muddle. If you don't get angry to solve the problem, there's little problem. You can solve the problem a lot better. I mean, years ago I read in the Reader's Digest, it could be about 50 years ago when I read the book, that little short story. It seems they got a meeting of international scientists. Some of you have heard this story before anyway. And you were there to discuss some problems, with the research. And as the meeting goes about, they can't find a solution to that thing. And you know, during meeting, when people can't find solution, everybody is frustrated. And there's this anger. And eventually, you know, it turns into a session where they try to say bad things about the others. That's what happens when you get angry. Rather than tackling the problem, you're tackling the person who gives the suggestions. Then there's this, according to the story, there's this Thai scientist. You know, Thais are very, very, very good in the meditation in the olden days. So what he did was he just retired to the next room. And he sat down there and just calmed himself down and know the thing clearly. You can see what's happening clearly. Then after half an hour, he went back to the room. Then you can see that these people are quarreling for nothing. Right? And what he did was, with his calmness, he managed to put everything back, put everybody back into the early situation where now they start to tackle problems rather than criticizing the others. So this is the way, when you are calm, you can deal with anger a lot better. And when you are mindful, you can deal with it even better. Both calmness and mindfulness makes you be able to face the situations a lot better. And that's why in the Buddhist meditation, we learn about this calmness and mindfulness. We are not only just solely lean on one side. It must be a good balance of two. You must have calmness, you must learn mindfulness as well. In your calm state of mind, you can see your mind better. When you see the mind better, the calmness goes up. But of course, when you are facing anger in the cliff, you can't say, oh, wait for me, I must, you know, I just sit this way, and then I breathe in and out, you know, watch my breathing, then just to deal with the anger. You can't do it. So what do? When you are learning from your meditation, try to bring as much of your experience in meditation back into your daily life. Starting with small things, right? Like my usual thing is brushing your teeth, right? So on. No, you start to be aware of getting the mind to be in line with what you are doing. And then when you have that habit, then you know, I'm starting to feel irritated. I'm to feel a bit fed up. You can see that. And when you feel irritated and fed up, I shouldn't be doing that. Okay, give it up. So that's the way you do it. Bring your meditation practice, the mindfulness meditation practice, into your daily life in slow installments until you get the skill. Then when somebody is saying bad things to you, you know that, I just heard the fellow said bad things about me. Am I going to follow up? Maybe. Am I going to follow up? No. So you have a choice of getting the stress or not getting the stress. So this is the way it is. You got to learn how to do it. Get the skill. Meditation is all about acquiring a skill. Normally, we don't have any at all. We just go on our own autopilot and we get angry, we get happy, we get irritated and so on at any time. So in our practice, we got to understand that anger brings about, there's no beneficial things about being angry at all. It brings a lot of harm to us. It harms you physically, harms you mentally. It harms you in your relationships. So a lot of cases, try to let go of the thoughts. Right? But before you can let go of the thought, try to know that particular anger is going to cause you damage. It gives you a better way of doing that. And then after that, try to focus on your breathing. That's why a lot of people say you count to 10. Let's count. Before you get angry, 1, 2, 3, 4.
What happens if you don't get to 10? Someone told me.
Initially, you know, it doesn't mean that you change overnight. But when you start to get the skill,
I try to focus on what? I'm writing down what you're saying.
No, focus on your breathing. Just what? On your breathing. That's why we are our meditation. When you associate breathing with calmness. I'm quite sure all of you, when you start to breathe gently and nicely, you will get a nice, gentle, nice feeling. So you got to learn this sort of things, acquire it. Now, don't start with those big anger. Don't think that you're already raging mad, then You want to say, I want to sit down there and breathe. No, you're going to be very disappointed. Mm-hmm. What you can do is start with little small little things. Small little things. When I see dog poo, dog poo. Mm-hmm. And don't think anymore about it. Just, you want to pick out the dog poo, pick it up. You don't want to pick out the dog poo, just walk past it. It doesn't mean that you must go and pick up the dog poo. When somebody says bad things about you, there are two ways. You can register it inside there and get upset. Or you can say, okay, it's something I heard. Especially when things which are of no use at all. Yeah. Right? We pick up all this stupid information and we make ourselves so upset with it. So when the next time when you happen to have a new hairstyle, you know, even men have got hairstyles. Right? So when you walk around, try to solicit for praises, don't worry. Yeah, I got my new hairstyle, I'm happy with it, and that's it. If you go there, go down there, and next week people say, oh, Jim, I like your hairstyle, you'll be disappointed, because a lot of people will think differently. Right? Or when people don't say anything, you get very upset. And that's the way you caught anger. What's your hairstyle got to do? Your hairstyle is for you to please yourself. Look in the mirror and you like yourself, that's good enough. Why should you do your hairstyle to please everybody or want to get everybody to say nice things to you? So understand all these mechanisms of it, where you go there and look for it. And when you understand the thing and be able to know what makes you angry, then maybe you can do as if you are sieving things, right? Get all these unnecessary problems and throw them away. Then maybe you start to do that, then you know that 80% of the time you get angry for no purpose. I can tell you, for some of us, it's about 90%. A lot of things. And maybe if you don't believe me, tomorrow keep a little notepad. Or you know, this notepad is not, you got the computer thing. Dot, 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 tap, 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 tap. So every time you want to get angry, you tap, tap, tap. You get angry, you tap, tap, tap. Or some irritation, you tap, tap, tap. At night, go and open up and see. Right? You might have tapped 15,000 times. Right? Go back and see. What? And then you can decide for yourself how stupid you were. Right? And I'm not saying that you are stupid. I'm just like that as well. If I'm not careful, I always get angry. And then you get caught in the traffic. Alan knows this now. He was telling me what to do. And then I lose the turn. I said, you can make me lose the turn. Then after that, you say, I just got angry. So, this is the way. Just be, know that you get angry for nothing. So, simple. How do you deal with anger? Any questions about anger? Yes? Yes, you can always solve it. Problems, it's not that we don't have problems, but you can always solve problems without involving anger.
But how can you know what a problem is?
That's where your skill is. No, you know problems. Say for example, alright, say when you're tapping on your computer and all of a sudden everything goes blank. What happens?
Scream.
Yeah, you're upset with yourself, you scream, you yell, or you know, if you are quite a nice person, you say tap 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 tap. Nothing. Then you start to get anxious. Now that is part of parcel of the anger coming up. Then you start to say, is this something I've done wrong? Now, this is one thing you're blaming yourself already, the anger. Right? The second thing is maybe somebody has did something to my computer. Oh, my computer got hacked, whatever. Right. So these are the sort of things. Now, can you right now do the thing as to say nothing, something is wrong with my computer, what's wrong, right? And then you find out what's wrong without the extra addition. Okay, Now, same thing with suppose you happen to get a very beautiful new car which you like very much, and you park your new car outside in Anzac Parade, right? And all of a sudden, when you finish your lecture, you go up there, somebody has got a very huge bag on your car, half the thing is taken off. What happens?
To cry.
Yeah, most of us will get angry, right? Some say, perhaps I should have parked my car here. You are getting angry with yourself. Or maybe some idiots have gone into my car. I must go and look for him and all these things. But we forgot the most important way we should be doing things. Get your police report, claim your insurance. If you can do it without all this spicy anger, then you'll be a lot better, less stress. Okay, look at it. Somebody has just banged my car. Can you do that or not? Just bang my car. It's more in a wreck. Right? And then I go and check my insurance paper. But you haven't done any insurance. Your insurance expired, and then you get problem. Other than that, it's just like that. Right? So we try to do taking away the emotional side of adding to the problem. And usually the emotional side we add to the problem, anger, anxiety, and fear. Right? They're all very closely related. Sometimes they can be one. Right? So that's the way. You know? And how to do it without getting this addition to the problem? The training, mental training. That's why in Buddhism we got this mental culture. Right? On your effort, on the mindfulness, on the calmness of the mind. Right?
Just a question adding on to the dealing with issue part. Instead of being actually angry, what about in cases where you have to pretend to be angry to solve scenarios? Say, for example, if you're dealing with superannuation company. So what happened was they were taking a long time to refund my superannuation to a different superannuation fund. Mm. And so I had to pretend, I'm not sure if I was actually angry, but I had to pretend to be angry and threaten that I'll complain to the Fair Trading if they don't get it done. And before I did that, they were taking a very long time, like weeks. And then when I said that, the manager called me on the same day to get a result.
You've done a very, very important thing. Yeah, talk about complain, right?
Yeah.
You can complain without getting angry.
But sometimes
the thing can take so long, I write this letter because I'm complaining to me because blah, 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 without that mindset of being angry. That is the thing. If without the mindset of being angry, then your complaint can sound a lot better. Right? So that people can catch you on the wrong track. That is the thing. Right? Sometimes a lot of times people tell me, if I don't get angry, I can never get any service around here. It's not true. You just go there, if really they are slack and all those things, you try to be stern and then complain. If you complain to this guy, he won't work. Go up there and complain. It's not that Buddhists are so nice people that we don't complain. If injustice is being done, we complain. It's just like, people ask me, don't you Buddhists go and do demonstrations and all this? Yes, we do, but we don't go and throw stones. Right? So that is the difference. We can. If you see injustices, don't get angry at the injustice. Understand the injustice. And then find a way out. Right? Now, when even if you pretend to get angry, sometimes you get caught in it, no? And you become really angry.
Yeah.
Mm. So, try not to. Okay. So, you guys know about anger? Okay, now, important thing is, a Buddhist word, right? No. I'm not telling you to let go of the problem, but letting go of the anger and the emotion sides. In anything at all. That's a very important thing. Because when you're attached to the whole thing, and you get caught in the emotional way, you won't, never, you can never think straight. There's no stability in your thinking, and there's no rationality in your thinking. Okay? Understand that. And then this is letting go of the instability and the irrationality we have. I'm not saying letting go of the problem. When you let go of the irrational way we think, instability in the mind, then the mind is more stable, calm, you can think a lot better and find a way out a lot better. Now go back to the scientists that talked to you. During the time when they're all involved in getting emotional, they lost the rationality. They don't solve the problem. They attack the other persons. They don't attack the problem. You know? And when you start to get somebody who's calm and able to see it, then they go back to the problem rather than attacking the other person. Any other questions about anger before we go on to the next big topic? Yes?
Yeah, Jim, I'm just wondering whether anger can be beneficial in the sense that it motivates us to take action. Like, for example, in the federal budget, a lot of people were very angry at how unfair it was. And I was just wondering, if people didn't feel angry, then there'll be no protest, there'll be no one taking action. So would you say anger can motivate us to take action over situations which are unfair? If we didn't have that anger, we wouldn't do anything.
No, I would say no. Know what the reason why I say no? A lot of people, they get angry, they read the newspapers. Tony Abbott is blah, 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 blah. Like curse and swear, Tony Abbott. Curse and swear, Jokey and all this. It's useless. You curse and swear here is useless. What you should do? Go and organize a group of people. Right? You want to protest? Try to protest without anger. 2 days, petition, get the legal side of it. Get as many people as possible to be, you know, to be on site. Then, go to Parliament House, put placards there, and Tony Abbott go around and see there are 30,000 people out there demonstrating. I better think second time.
But wouldn't you need to feel angry before you feel motivated?
No. You see, the whole thing is, in a way, the Indians, the way they fought for independence under Gandhi, that is not really fought through anger. Because he used the idea of ahimsa, which is in our Buddhist way of thinking. Right? So he does this civil disobedience. You give unfair law, okay, I won't follow it. Right? What I want to do is, I try to stop the train from going, okay, or we all lie down on the thing. Okay, you kill 5, next trip you kill 10, we got 1,000 of the offers here. Right? How many can you kill? Right? So this is the way it is. You know? When you do it, you achieve results better. So you look at the Indian War of Independence, not after that, but the war of the fighting for independence. There are very, very few people killed compared to other war of independence in other countries. The others, they build up people's emotions and then they take up arms to go and fight. But the Indians don't even have to use a single gun because they don't have none. Right? So this is the very good example of what we call, this is a very important word. Right? Ahimsa means non-violence. And this is the our samadhi, the right thoughts, we always got to get this non-violence thought. So anger, if we, chances of anger usually will lead us to violence. Either violence in words or violence in our physical action. When we get really angry, I feel like slapping the fellow. Or if you don't feel like slapping the fellow, you feel like taking a knife and stab the fellow. Right? So we try not to bring ourselves into that state. So the way we deal with anger is, as I said before, understand it within yourself. Don't look at other people. And where you understand it, when you are sitting down doing your mindfulness meditation. Right? It's called vipassana meditation or insight meditation. But part and parcel of it is to be able to deal with that part of emotion which caused you problem. Right? And as you go along with it, you find that you are able to be more aware of all these things. And it starts up. In one of the sermons of the Buddha is in the first sutta in the middle length thing. It says when you're overcome by your perception, you're overcome by it. You become that. And you overcome when you are overcome by your sensation, you become that. And it has got a lot of meaning to us. Got to understand it. I'm overcome by my anger now. And it's not really a pleasant thing. It's not going to give us any good results. So, I'll do something to it. And the resolve to do something to it is the first step. And how to do it? Try to sort those two things. Problem and anger are two different things. Now, it's natural for us to feel angry when there's a problem. But can you separate anger from your problem or not? Get rid of the anger from your problem. Then it's easier for you to solve the problem. So how to do it is to observe your mind and say, I'm getting involved in this. The emotions are coming up. And when the angry emotion comes out, try to let go of it. And that is in our mental training. Let go. It's very, very important part of Buddhism. But of course, a lot of Buddhists would take the let go too much, too far to the thing. And you don't care about things. You don't care. It's not that we don't care. We care. But you got to learn how to let go at the right time. What makes you think that I should talk about forgiveness, Ellen? I tried to look up the Buddhist dictionary and there's no word on forgiveness. And I checked through the Buddha's teaching, there's no such thing as forgiveness. You know why not?
Why?
No, why should you forgive people? Let's put it the other way. Okay, let's go to the source. Why should you forgive? Why should you forgive? I mean, now supposing you say something bad about me, I get angry with you, I get upset with you, I hold a grudge against you. Then later on you say, sorry Jim, I've said that, you apologize. Then I say, I forgive you. Now supposing I call myself a very good Buddhist and you say something.
It's to help you move on.
Hmm?
It's to help you move on.
Now, that, you see, forgiveness is very much idea of those people, the people who, the monotheists especially, the forgiveness. People who believe in one God. Because that forgiveness comes from you offending the God. Right? So you got to do something to get the God to forgive you. If you look into some of the holy books of those people who believe in God, it's what happens. Somebody came down and say, today, my God will get angry if you do this, you do that. My God will get angry if you eat pork. My God will get angry if you wear blue. My God will get angry if you have sex, not in midnight, but you have sex openly. Okay, all these things. So they come up with these ideas of transgression. Right? That means you do something which offends that his God or her God, whatever. Right? Then, if you believe in that particular thing, then you should do something to get rid of a transgression. It's very primitive in the way of thinking. Now, people believe in the past, before that the spirits will come and, you know, if you offend the spirits, they come and haunt you. Right? So, like, say, there are some spirits around and then they need to have to... Actually, you know, any of you, those of you who are born in Southeast Asia, you know, it's just that when I was young, you know, we are told not to urinate on... trees in the jungle because they believe that every tree has got a spirit. So when you wee in the jungle, you wee on the tree, the spirits will come and make you sick. You see, you get fever and all this. Right? So that is a very primitive way of believing because you offended the spirit. And then some witch doctors will come. You do this particular thing. You know, when you're sick, they always consult witch doctors. Right? So we can see witch doctor. My daughter got sick or my son got sick. Then tell me what you have done. So you say, no, not this. And then you say, 3 days ago I urinated on the tree in the jungle. That must be it. So okay, go home, you know, get some flowers, get some water, get some rice, and then go to the tree there and put some incense there and pray and say, so, no, forgive me, I've offended you. And then you get well. Now it's psychological, you get well. Now, it's not true that the spirit will do. So people believe in that, and it gets worse and worse. So eventually, you know, you cannot wear these clothes, you cannot eat this food and all these things. Then you eat this food, what happens? The God will get angry at you. Then what do you do? Ask for forgiveness. Right? So in primitive way, ask for forgiveness is costly, you know. You got to have a lamb, but then burn the lamb to ask for forgiveness. Right? That's for your sins. So there's a thing called sinning or transgression, therefore you've got to have forgiveness. And it goes on and on, it becomes very, you know, and people tend to think that they are God. Because, you know, they forget that there's only one big God up there, but they think that they are God. So you say something to offend me, I take the role of God, I get upset with you. Right? I hold the grudge against you. I'm waiting for opportunity, you know, to do something to harm you later on. Right? So, nowadays, we can ask for forgiveness by saying, I'm sorry. We are more civilized. But sometimes, I'm sorry, not enough. You got to buy me the food I love to give it to me. Then, I forgive you. So, this is the way it is. Then, in between that, they got an intermediary. Because nobody has seen the God. Nobody, you know, has come into contact with the God. So, they got an intermediary called the priest. And the priest will tell you what the God wants. Right? So, it becomes that habit. So, where is transgression? Then we go for forgiveness. From the Buddhist standpoint, what it is? If you are a normal person, you get offended. Therefore, there's a need for you to forgive. But the Buddha taught us what? Try not to get offended. Simple. Then why bother about forgiveness? Right or not? Very easy solution, and yet we always look for the roundabout way. Instead of touching your nose this way, you're trying to touch it this way. So, who's a stupid person? No wonder the Buddha say all of you are ignorant. Me included.
So, are you saying how you couldn't find the word forgiveness? Is that because Buddha, there's never any self-harm?
Yeah, Buddha, if you look at the teachings, the Buddha is not angry, but he did criticize people. It's not because they offended him. It's because the deeds, what they do is not right. Right? So there's two different things. Now we don't see when you hear something, we get offended. Right? And we can keep the offense between ourselves. If you keep your offense between yourself, what happens? You are carrying the burden. Right? It's not easy. Carry the burden. Mum. Then somebody says something again, or you see something again, you keep on holding the offense. Right? And for what you know, the person who committed the offense has gone enjoying himself somewhere in the pub or watching a movie. You are still carrying his burden. And are you wise enough or not? Just to get rid of it. Right? Is there anything which you can't give up? No. But you choose to hold it on to it. And sometimes you choose to hold on to some simple words. Right? Somebody, I wear this shirt. And then somebody say, you got a stain here. Then what happens? You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to be a good friend. And look at it, there's a stain there. But you're not supposed to, still not supposed to say that. I get upset with you. Then I wouldn't talk to you for 5 days. Then finally you realize it. Then come and see me. Jim, is there anything I've done wrong to you? Nothing. I still won't talk to you. Right? This is the way normal behavior, isn't it? Then after that, no, maybe after 2 weeks, then I decided, okay, give up the anger. You come and say sorry. Then, okay, it's all right. But do we really forgive or not? The memory is there. We didn't really give up. Like somewhere down the track, he did something to offend me again. Right? Then I say, this is the second time you offended me. First time you offended me, it stayed on my shirt. You see, and we are the stupid fellas. Right? No wonder the Buddha always say, right, you pugalas, normal people, us are ignorant. They are deluded. Right? This is the way we act. You keep on carrying all this unnecessary. Why, you know, so what is the stain in this shirt? I mean, I'm not going to a passion parade. I'm not going to the what they call it, those big parties. Right? So, there you are. See the thing in reality. Right? Oh, and when we start to be able to see all these things, we carry less of the burden, then we don't have to have the forgiveness. Forgiveness is actually the key to let you get rid of your burden. And why? And how do we ask? How do we forgive people? You don't say I forgive you just like that. You must come and apologize to us first. Right? We demand that. People demanding for apologies because I got offended. Well, If you want to be like that, then keep going with your unhappiness, keep going with your stress. If you want to be not so stressful like the Buddha, well, you say something. That's what you say. You behave like that, that's what you how you behave. Right? As long as you don't cause me really physical harm or anything, it's all right. Even when people cause us physical harm, you got to see. Sometimes they do it, even intentionally, you got to see. Sometimes it's because of their delusion. Right? I mean, just start to understand it and don't carry that sort of unnecessary burden. So in other words, when you talk to me about Buddhist forgiveness, that's why I told you, I never come across forgiveness in the Buddhist scripture. Of course, the Tibetan Buddhists will talk a different thing, but since I'm talking about the Buddhism of Buddha, so it's like that. Buddha says, don't pick up the grudge. And how not to pick up the grudge? Go back to what I said just now. Let go, let go, let go. I mean, during the Buddha's time, he's got this guy who is a recalcitrant guy, always creating problems for the Buddha. And the Buddha was very patient with him, not in an artificial way, but every time he comes, he says, "No, Udayin, I told you this is not like that. This is not like that." Then he goes back, he does the same thing again, follow the wrong way again, come back and then tell the Buddha, "I did this and that." The Buddha says, "No, Udayin, don't do that. That is not the way." But eventually, one day, the fuller realized that this guy, he was a monk, he realized that something went wrong and then came to see the Buddha. And the Buddha explained the same thing to him, but this time his mind opened up, understood it, and he became a rahat. So it's very simple. So don't really get upset with people. Now, it's not easy, I can tell you that. It needs years and years of training. Even after years and years of training, there are still a lot of things which will irritate us. Right? But just understand it, this is part and parcel of my life. The more I give up, the better it is. Right? And don't worry if you can't give up the big things. Do the small little things first. If you are late to catch the bus, you run to the bus stand, all of a sudden your bus went. What do you do? You don't get angry with yourself. Okay, I'm late. Let's sit down there and just breathe and feel calm. Then you don't have a problem. You're late. You get angry and being late, you get two problems. Okay? So understand that sort of things. And when you understand it, at least you know that you got a problem within yourself, this anger or whatever, this grudge and all these things, and learn. That's why it makes you want to go and learn the way to get out of it. And the way to get out of it is one, the way which we call the way out of suffering. Right? The Eightfold Path. Eightfold Path meaning, yes?
Okay. Sorry, I was just going to ask, what about the idea of unforgivable acts? Like, so not necessarily you say, I'm never going to forgive you, but the idea of something being done that's unforgivable that, a society will decide, these either things that are unforgivable or unacceptable. Is there...
Well, you can say, I know what you mean. Because it's the way we rate the whole thing. That is forgivable, it's unforgivable, it's okay, it's forgivable. It's not. I shouldn't be thinking of this scratch, but this scratch is a bit more than that. Therefore, it's a forgivable. I can take on the grudge, but I forgive you. Say I'm sorry. The next grudge is, I'll forgive you only when you say you're sorry and give me my favorite food. The other one is you say you're sorry and go and shave your head off and wear sackcloth and all this, right? And so on and so on. It gives on until you reach one which is so big. Now, these are all in our imagination. When people commit atrocities, sometimes we consider it to be unforgivable. But it's just natural for a lot of people to do so. Right? It so happened that we may be the victims. Right? But you've got to see, if you hold on the grudge, what can you do? Right? What can you do means, can I take revenge on it or not? Usually we always think of taking revenge. when somebody murders, say somebody come and murder my whole family, it's unforgivable, isn't it? But if I don't forgive them, what can I do? There'll be recourse, there'll be things, I can take them to court and all these things without getting really, got to take the course of law and all this. But when all these things are determined, then what can I do? I got to get on with my life. Getting upset with the guy and then making a misery of my whole lifetime doesn't help. So you got to find a day when we got to really give up. But in the case of a lot of Buddhists, we give up long before we carry this burden. When somebody really slaughtered my whole family, I hope, in my training, I'll be able to see they've done that. It's not a nice deed. I don't want to take any offense, but at the same time, I want to make sure that things are being done to take the course. So you call the police and everything. Don't say, oh, somebody killed my wife and children and I'm all right, and then go down and take a cruise to enjoy myself. It's not that way. You're not going to the other extreme. It's just that you've got to know what to do. When you start to get really angry and really sad and things, you can't really do the things well. So take away all this anger and think, know that you have a loss. But how much are we going to cling on to this loss? The more you cling on to it, the worse you get. So we got to understand it. It's not that we do nothing and say, oh, you can come and chop my head off, I'm alright. It's not that either. It's very stupid. When you come with a knife and chase after me, you want to chop my head, I run. But suddenly you caught up with me and cut my head, well, what can I do? Right? So we got to be, got to be very reasonable with ourselves. So, it's just like the same thing when the invaders from India came from the West, right? They came and overran India, and they went to the Nalanda Monastery. They saw all these monks there. Well, the monks, they tried to run away, but those who don't run away, they said, chop, chop, chop. And then the Buddhists never take this as a grudge against the Muslims. And the same thing, you remember years ago, about 10 years ago, there's this big statue of the Buddha in Afghanistan. The Taliban just bombed it, right? And the next day, somebody came and see me and said, somebody just bombed your Buddha. I said, they didn't bomb my Buddha. They bombed a stone image of the Buddha. I said, see, they do things or not. I said, how do you feel about it? Well, I said, it's now a pile of rubble. If you go and get angry and then collect a whole lot of Buddhists to go fight the Taliban, what's going to happen? There'll be dead Buddhists, there'll be dead Taliban. And if the Americans come involved, there'll be dead Americans. Why not? See, that is the thing. There's only a statue. Right? It's not causing any harm to anybody. It's important, but are you going to kill five person to get the statue back? So this is the way, you understand the problem, the severity of it, and then act accordingly. But if somebody will come to vandalize my temple the temple I go to, then I try to stop him and say, hey, don't do that. If he still wants to do it, then I say, I call the police. And then the police will come and deal with it, because I can't deal with it. So it's not that we should let, I want to vandalize a temple, oh, go ahead and do it. See, these are the two extremes. When we choose the middle path, just do it in the right way. When somebody offends you, well, try not to be offended, but you got the right to question the offense. Why do you say that about me? Is it true that you said something about me? Why do you say it? Then you learn that I don't like you. Well, in the case, you got the right not to like me. And don't have anything to do with him in future. It doesn't mean that you've got to be so kind. As now I'm a very compassionate Buddhist. I must embrace you and forgive you and all. And so all those bunkum thing. Right? See how we do. We can bring it the other way. There's a case years ago. This very rich tycoon in Italy. His two sons swindled all his money. So he went to court and then he lost the case because the son had got a solid case against him. Then outside the court, he told the public and told the son, and says, I will forgive you, but God will never forgive you. So how much is the forgiveness? So this is, look at these sort of things. And try not to be ridiculous. Because a lot of times we forgive others, we are being very ridiculous. And especially when you look at this parliament demanding forgiveness. And then when they give the forgiveness, not good enough, two words missing were forgiveness. Then they debate over that for another 5 days, spending tons of money. And then go back. No, I still wouldn't do it. Quarrel again. Right? So it's not genuine. Okay, anything more about forgiveness? Now, the rule in forgiveness in the Buddhist way is do not hold grudge, therefore you don't have to forgive. Save all the trouble of forgiving. When you hold grudge, number one, you carry the burden. Number two, you're not careful, the burden will eat into you. So understand that, and hopefully we get a slightly better life. Of course, anger and grudge is not just one thing, but there are other things which really, you know, get into us. Things like fears and anxiety and all this. Right? But we deal with it in exactly the same way as we deal with anger. Okay, Alan? Enough of this stuff?
Can we say that then Buddhist forgiveness is letting go?
Yeah. Letting go even before you forgive. That if you let go, you don't have to forgive. Once somebody says something and then... I don't even notice that, you know, because the thing is, it's all very small things. What for to pick on people's small things? And after they come and say, I'm sorry I did this. I said, did you? So, no, don't you remember the other day I was doing this and that? I said, nah, don't worry. So, you don't pick up the thing, you don't have to worry about forgiveness. And then, again, when you don't pick up grudges, people can be more frank to us. I can tell you straight away without thinking that they're offending you. So it's a very important thing. You want honesty from people, try not to have grudge. Otherwise, they put on a smiling face and they tell you things going around about way, step you on the back and so on. So it's for the better, your own better life that we try not to carry this burden. Okay, any more questions? No? Yeah.
So, sometimes in ceremonies, there's forgiveness ceremonies. Like, for example, you take leave of a teacher in Buddhist.
Oh, yeah, they do have that. The whole thing is sometimes we are not dealing with pure Buddhists, right? I mean, people who are still training. Yeah. And sometimes they might say things, bad things about the teacher, or sometimes the teacher might say something quite offensive to them, or they might not like straightforward things. For example, I say that you are full of ignorance. Then you can take offense. So I say, okay, after the talk, forgive me if I offended you. That's a different thing. Because in your ignorance, you take up my offense. Because I'm telling you the fact, but just because you understand the fact wrongly. Therefore, there's need to have this sort of forgiveness. But that's very superficial thing.
Can you tell me what that let go? What's that after that?
Ahimsa, what's
that?
Non-violence.
Oh, non-violence.
Himsa is violence. Ahimsa is non-violence.
Does anyone have any questions?
Yes.
I noticed other teachers, when they talk about forgiveness, you know, in the Buddhist way, talk about the laws of karma. And it's almost like they expect you to take some sort of comfort in the fact that what goes around comes around. But I mean, what you say makes far more sense to me. It's almost delusional thinking that some natural law is going to take care of it.
Yeah, I'm talking from the pure Buddhist point of view. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, sometimes, you know, like Alan just mentioned, we've got to ask for forgiveness sometimes, because if we think that we have offended the other person, right, then convention requires us to ask for forgiveness. I'm talking this plainly from a Buddhist point of view to say that if you don't pick up from you yourself, right, you don't let grudge stick onto you, then there's no forgiveness. But if for what we have done to other people, sometimes we will say things, right? Like just now I say, you know, you guys are all stupid. If you want to take care of it, the guys, how can Jim respect the Buddhist teacher say that I'm stupid? So that's why some of the teachers say, just forgive. If I've offended you, Or maybe you might say something to the teacher, you think that the teacher have a grudge. Then you ask for this forgiveness. It's convention, a very, you know, superficial thing. So we, sometimes they apologize. You see, when we ask for forgiveness, we got to also be, to know that there are chances that person will forgive us, chances are they won't forgive us. So got to, that's again karma. So when you talk about this, it's not the natural thing that forgiveness won't take away your karma. Nothing will take away your karma. No intervention. So when you, what you can do is, now when I talk about this forgiveness, don't take away the karma is, number one, I do something, you take offense. Right? I do something, the karma is done. Your offense is your reaction to my karma. Right? That's the vipaka. Then you get upset with me. That's the vipaka of my karma. Right? That is it. Now, then that particular offense, I am feeling it now. Right? And then after that, I do another karma again and say, okay, I'm sorry. There's another karma, totally different from the offense karma. Then you accept it. Then the vipaka is you let the matter pass. Alright? So they are it's not the same karma if you want to look from the karma point of view. Right? Two different karmas already. The first karma is I offended you.
Yeah.
The second karma is I apologize. And the thing is you don't know whether I get the results or not. I apologize to you, you might genuinely forgive me. You might not forgive me. Or you might say you forgive me, but God won't forgive me. Right? So there are all these variations there. So there is, my karma is, these are the three results I can foresee. One of them. Right? So these are the, it's a difference. Not that I offend you, then I apologize, I just take away the first karma. No. The first karma is, you get offended and I feel it. That's the first karma. The first result of the karma. The result of the first karma. Okay?
How do Buddhists practice self-forgiveness? Especially if you made a mistake and you start criticizing yourself when you don't want to make
it. Yeah, that's why I told you from the very onset. Forgiveness is a concept when you get something which is offended. Right? Now, you can't forgive yourself. It's not true. You got to understand yourself and where's the forgiveness. Right? In the case, when you have done something in the past, right? Now, you've done something to other people in the past, can you forgive yourself or not? You may forgive yourself through delusion, right? But the deed is already done, right? Like when you say, when I offended somebody, then it's up to me to create another karma to ask for forgiveness. Right? But at the same time, I can't simply say I forgive myself until the other person is okay. Right? But a lot of religions give you this self-forgiveness. You go and pray. Right? And then you're forgiven. Now, that is not, this doesn't work in Buddhism. It doesn't take away your bad karma. So that's why when you talk about, you know, we do a lot of things to offend people, then when we realize that we have offended people regularly, then what you can do is try to dilute the bad karma, right? By doing a lot of good work, right? So if we are offended, say I offended you today, tomorrow I try to really apologize to you. That's one of the good works. Then in future I treat you nicely and all these things. Try not to offend you. That is doing the good karma. Right? Maybe one fine day you will genuinely forgive me. So when I talk about forgiveness, when I say there's no such thing as forgiveness, it's not in pure Buddhism. Right? We are talking about in the human terms, in our convention. Right? Whether you belong to one culture or another is a different thing. And the way we say ask for forgiveness is, there are so many different things in different cultures. Right? I mean, those of you from Chinese background, you know that the cup of tea, when the younger generation offends the older generation, right? The older generation, they get really angry, upset, and all these things, they create hell. Then what they do is, the younger generation will come and a cup of tea. And okay, mom or dad or auntie, uncle, I'm sorry. Right? Give it a cup of tea. And then they drink the cup of tea, all the anger gone. Right? So this is the way. Yeah? This is the way, because they are human beings. They are pugala, what you call it, untrained human beings. But if they're trained, then what's there to get offended? That's the way you act. You're nice to me, you're nice to me, you're not nice to me. Well, I can't force you to be nice to me, but I can be nice to you so they can be nice to me. Go back to the Buddhist principle number one. Right? So there are many, many ways of dealing with these things. But it's to understand the mechanisms of everything. And then train yourself to let go of the emotional things. If somebody says things about me, there's a problem. He said bad things about me. But if I get angry, I'm adding to it. So I should not get angry. I'm going to find out why he said about me. And less problem. Okay, any more questions? Looks like everybody is interested in this forgiveness thing. Yes?
So, when talking about karma and forgiveness, with all the killings and that are happening in our world today, is that a karma that is part of anger, I suppose, and because it's happening, you know, today, how do you think that will stop? By people thinking all these six senses like us? You know, look, it's such a political issue too, so I just wonder, because it's like, even when I pass daily homeless people, and I feel, is that karma for them too? You know, I have a roof over my head and food on the table and they don't have things. So, yeah, how do these people practice all these six senses?
No, I think that the thing is, again, I hate to say this, but our eyes faces outwards, so we always see things around us, right? So what I'm talking about is, turn your eyes inward, and this is what happens within you. But if you were to talk about others, then we don't know. And in the Buddha's teaching specifically, the Buddha didn't mention about karma and all these things, but he said, don't go and speculate about karma. When you see a poor person, a lot of people like to, even the Buddhists and whatever, they always say, last life you have been very stingy, therefore this life you are poor. I mean, I don't know. Nobody knows. So we try to speculate and give a reason to be why they are. So the best thing is, you know, when you see these other things, know that they are poor. They are homeless. They are destitute and all these things. Right? Now, what the thinking should arise in a good Buddhist is, can I help them or not? Don't think of, why are you like that? You know, you poor thing and all this. No.
No, I don't actually think that, but when we were talking about
don't know.
And that, I just thought, okay, it's each one of us.
No, we don't. We don't.
I just give $5 or something.
Yeah, you just give. If you've got $5 to give and you feel like giving, give. Yeah. Right? Don't say, oh, I give you the $5, I make sure that you go and buy something, not to buy drugs. That's another thing. Right? So these are the sort of things. Our feeling should go is, we have that sense of compassion. Know that you are in the position to give, you give. Right? And don't start to think, maybe, you know, God doesn't like you, so, you know, you're poor. Or maybe last life you got bad karma, therefore you're poor. Now, these are all pure speculation. Nobody knows. Right? But sometimes, you know, you can't say, today they are poor, tomorrow they may find a pot of gold, they get the money again. Right? So these are the sort of things we try not to speculate. But unfortunately, religion, a lot of popular religion, they make you speculate. Then they tell you all sorts of reasons. And I think in a way, the Buddhists are, some of the Buddhist teachers are fairly offend. They do offend that way. Like they keep on telling karma, karma. So it means that this life you slaughter a chook, next life you become the chook, and then the chook you slaughter becomes a human being, they slaughter you. So supposing you have 10 lives, then you slaughter 10 chooks, then I got to pay back in 10 lives. Isn't it? Now, supposing this life I slaughtered a chicken. Next life, I get slaughtered only once. Then I still got 9 more. So die and then become a chicken again, somebody come and slaughter me again. So, I mean, these are very good for morality. Right? For in a day and age where people have got this belief into supernatural thing. Right? And nowadays, when we got to look into karma in a very, very different way. And the Buddha has got other ways of telling us what karma really is. Right? Karma comes, where karma starts? The six. And when you get something pleasant, you see something and brings up your kindness, then that is really good kind of karma. It makes you do something. Right? Time yet? Ah, you got 7-8 more minutes. You want to make your announcements?
Yeah. Unless anyone has more questions. Then we shall proceed with the
next. No, I better stop the thing. Otherwise, they start asking me whether Buddha flies or not.